I mean, men are just exceptional in all areas when it comes to like getting something over on women.
Truly. Oh, so truly.
Welcome to Eat Double Back. We're just going. We wait for the sigh. We know that, like, well, we're at our low point. It's the low ebb, maybe even rock bottom, for heaven's sake. Now it's time to start the show for
Yes.
Wednesday, April 10th, 2024.
What called
I think
it?
We could have gone lower.
I mean,
I was
we can
about
always,
to.
no, we will get lower. I mean, by the time the show's over, you're going to wish that you had done literally anything but listen to this.
Truly.
But here we are. Here we are.
Here we are. And our butts are pampered. And we're ready.
I believe Calder has asserted that his butt is not pampered. He can have a nicer chair.
No.
So.
I don't know if you guys ever saw the novelty toilet paper that was supposed to be for like really tough men, and it
What?
Was like no, it was a joke toilet paper that was made out of like hay or something. Like it appeared to be like a rolled up
like a rash on a roll.
I mean, like, but the implication was that you were like a real man if you could take it.
I
oh my
see.
God. Let me ask, did people buy it just to see? Let's
well,
see
no,
if I am a real man.
It's not a real thing you could use. It was just something that you would be like, look at this.
Oh,
it wasn't real toilet paper in any
I
fashion.
See. It's
It
one of
just,
those dad
yeah.
joke things that grandpas
yeah.
have around
yeah.
the house.
Yeah,
okay.
exactly.
Wow. There's a lot of venom in that one there, Teresa. That's
No, I'm just
Based
saying,
unreal.
I'm familiar with these things.
You know, it was kin to the bottles of hot sauce that have curse words on them. You know, it was like that.
Oh yeah, or like the red hots in a medicine jar, and the name
oh,
of
yeah,
it is
yeah.
Damodols.
yeah,
see.
Stuff like that. I'm familiar.
Well then. I just want to jump in here and say that we have a bidet. So whatever
nice.
You're putting on your butt, we're doing it better. Or at least more
Nobody
European.
Does it better.
I mean, I'm absolutely certain that in France or Japan or any place else they're used to these nicer toilets, they also have the kinds of like subcultures that we're talking about.
I mean, when I was in Spain,
hipsters,
it was like everybody had a bidet. It was like you just have them.
Why wouldn't you?
Well, now we ask that question now, don't we?
I mean, here's the thing: you do have to get over the hump of the idea of blasting water into your asshole. It
I don't
took
think I'm
me
ready
a while.
For that.
That's yeah, and that's fine. That's fine. What you do is you get one of those bidets that you like screw on, and you just put it into your Amazon wish list. Just leave it sitting there. Just leave it sitting there. Every once in a while, you'll be passing through your wish list, and you see it, and you're like, right, that thing. I'm gonna wash my butt with it. Great, great, great. And meanwhile, you're blowing money on wads of fancy toilet paper to pamper your butt. And then one day you're just like, you know what? I'm going to do this. I'm going to shoot water up in the butthole. And it's a little weird at first, but pretty quickly you're like, yeah, this is the life.
I feel like the thing that this would be waiting on is for me to develop some kind of near fatal anal rash or something like that. And then I'd come across that wait list and then pull the trigger maybe.
I mean, some people it's a little harder for them. That's fine. It's great. You know, you do you, baby.
I want one so bad, but I like my cousin. He was in the Air Force and he lived in Japan for quite a while. And then when he now lives in Arizona, and he bought himself like a Primo toilet that the seat raises or some the lid lifts or something like this when he walks in the room.
Okay, that's a little
much.
No, 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 no. Nope,
is
not
like.
That. That's
the seat
weird.
Itself is warm. And then the water itself is at a certain temperature.
Yes.
But it also blow dries your asshole. So like you're dry.
Mm.
So you don't have to do anything at all.
Yeah.
I was like, damn, dude. He's like, yeah, it's pretty sweet.
it's great until your skills at doing those things for yourselves atrophy, and then it busts down. And then where are you?
That's what they always say, is if you don't practice wiping your ass, you'll forget.
Okay, yeah, that's true.
That's what they always say.
I have forgotten how to wipe my own butt.
this is where Wally was warning us about, like, eventually, like, we can't do anything.
Mm-hmm.
I'm sick of Wally. These kids are obsessed with Wally, and like, I've been listening to the Wally soundtrack nonstop for like a month now. And can I tell you, it's not like a fucking real soundtrack. There's no songs. There's like three actual songs in it. It's all like dun, 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 like ambient noise. Wah, 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 nah. It's like whatever. It reminds me of my brother who listens to, and look, I'm not knocking this because also love certain video game music and certain anime soundtracks, but it's like it's like nonstop with my brother, like this video game soundtracks. And these aren't like all great soundtracks, you know what I mean? Some are great, but some are like, okay, this is like super 8-bit stuff, like, or not 8-bit, like 64-bit or something, but it's like, I don't know.
Barely better.
You know what I mean? But I mean,
do you guys remember? Go ahead.
I like it. I like a lot of it, but you know, sometimes it's just like, meh. I want to hear some words in a song.
Curse words.
Only curse words.
Yeah.
Did you guys ever watch Lunatics?
No.
It's a really funny show.
What?
And there's this kid. This guy plays all these different characters, and one of the characters he plays is this 12-year-old kid who makes this song called the fuck song. Fuck me to the left and fuck me to the right. Yeah, the Broadway lights. If you want to fuck, let's fuck, fuck, fuck. It's just so, like, yeah, a 12-year-old boy would do this. Oh, that's funny.
Probably while doing very mediocre wiping, like when he goes to the bathroom.
See, that's what years of experience is what's going to get you the bidet, frankly.
Yeah, that might be true.
Okay, so now that no one's listening to us,
now that we've got rid of all
any potential listeners,
all the casuals are gone.
Yeah,
only the true fans are left, all the casuals.
All right, we got Joe coming out, and I wasn't sure if this was going to be a match or not because he looked like he was dressed for a match. So I was like, "Is this a promo or what's going on?" But I didn't have to wonder long because Swerve attacks him on the ramp and puts him through a table.
What?
I was like, oh, well, this isn't a promo and it's not a match.
Indeed.
It's an attack.
It's an attack.
Yeah.
I think this is real neat.
Like a potato.
Obviously, like a potato? What?
Yeah, from The Simpsons. You don't remember that? When Marge thought potatoes were neat.
I see. I see. More of this Simpsons that I've heard so much about. Well, I'll tell you something. I am not a fan.
Well, when the young kids of L.A. discover The Simpsons, Teresa will get sick of it.
No, never.
Yeah, this is a real fun way to start the show. Kind of neat. I don't know. Are we gonna talk about the next segment, or is there something more to say here?
I don't have anything else to say. I'm going to thumbs it up, though.
I'll thumb it up.
As am I.
Sure.
Thumbing
it up. I don't need to hear another promo.
Until we got to what happens later, like I especially enjoyed the idea that I had seen days ago, Dustin Rhodes like heatedly challenged Joe like for a title shot. And, you know, like he was actually doing the whole, he was kind of doing the whole finish the story thing, like over in AEW, you know, like AEW's version of Soda. and the idea in my head that like they had set that up even, you know, not even waiting that long, you know, but waiting a few days to pay off like a match that was not going to happen. I was like, that I really like as it is, it's still pretty good.
Okay. So did we thumb it?
Yes, we did. Yeah.
Okay. We have Renee saying some shit about Orange Cassidy.
Thumbs down.
Whoa. Yeah.
It's a thumbs down for me too.
Yes.
Because we don't have Orange Cassidy. Mm-hmm. Just saying, that's he's going to eventually talk about what happened with Trent. And it's like, I don't need Renee to say this.
That's true.
You know what I mean? Like, yeah. I'm not so dying to know that I need a surrogate to say just a few words. Like, no. No.
Here's the thing. They did this surprise, you know, a swerve jumping Joe out of the gate, like, oh wow, that's an interesting start. It's not something we're used to. Great. Mm-hmm. Then to sell that, to, you know, to create this verisimilitude that like, oh my God, something unexpected happened. Let's throw to a package. That's essentially what they did here. Mm-hmm. Which is good. It's a good impulse. But it was boring. Like, I mm-hmm. do not want less than 4 minutes into the show to cut to a promo package that doesn't really have anything there. And then to tell us that, like, oh, somebody's going to talk about this later. So yeah. I get why they did it. I do not like it. I do not like it.
Yeah, no.
So I just wish they had done something. Let's just cut to something else exciting. Or
just move on. Don't say anything.
Something, yeah. Okay. Or just follow him back and be like, oh my God, he's really hurt. He's going to the doctor now. Let's follow this because this is intense and we're concerned for his welfare. He's the champion. Like, one of those. But what they did here.
Pfft. Yeah.
I don't know. Fart I feel noise. Like this is exactly what Orson Welles did in Citizen Kane when the like restaurant like waiter claims he's got answers on how Kane died, and then he doesn't.
I'm going to pretend that you did not just compare the first segment of AEW to Orson Welles' Citizen Kane.
Why?
Because it's
yeah, why?
Terrible. It's not a thing that anybody should be doing.
Why?
I went to film school. I'm entitled.
No. It's like
you've got a degree.
Did you graduate? That's what I need to know first, because you said you went to film school, not to finish film school. Two.
Oh my God.
Comparing,
you finish when you run out of money.
That's legit.
you compare things to Citizen Kane. In the same way that you compare somebody's argument to Adolf Hitler on the internet. Mm-hmm. It's like, well, you know, yeah. Hitler also did segments, you know, with the best friends. And you're like, well, seems like
I didn't comare Citizen Kane to AEW to Hitler, but you did.
Whoa.
You know what?
Whoa!
I took it so far that it went back around and became cool again. That's how that
works. Oh, no. Is that what we're doing with the? Never mind. That,
yes,
with white nationalism.
We're going to take it so far. We're going to take racism so far it becomes cool again.
Oh God!
Mm-hmm. What we're doing?
Oh Lord. Okay.
So, what did you thumb this? What did you thumb this? This, for instance.
The
thing you were talking about, Orson Welles.
Yeah, no. Compared to the greatest movie ever, so
that's back it up? Not true. Back it
up? Well, you know, that's an opinion, certainly. I guess I still thumbs it down, like, for all of that.
Oh, yeah. After all of that.
Sure. That's all right.
Fine.
So we've got Penta
the real start of the show.
Yeah, this is the actual start of the show. Penta versus Adam Copeland. Look, I didn't know I needed this match, but I needed this match. I love Penta. I want to see him every single week. I want, like, how could you not?
Well, I think you were really won over by Penta beating Adam's ass savagely for a while.
Yes, very much so. Mm-hmm. Also, just I love his moves. I love his swagger. I love everything about Penta. And Adam Copeland is a really good sell, and I love pointing that kind of shit out. Because when someone is not a good sell, it makes me really fucking angry. Anna Jay. And so,
Wow.
Yeah, you'll hear about it later. But okay.
Well, you hear what film school like movie I have for that one.
Oh, I can't wait. Can't wait. You already brought out the big guns. What else could it be?
Much like the bicycle thief. I find.
Yeah. 400 blows is nothing compared.
More like the 7 botches.
I only need 10 blows in the corner turnbuckle.
Anyways. All right. So this is a great match, but Adam Copeland wins.
Whoa. Let's not jump to the end.
No.
Before that, we stop and talk about how Alex Abrahantes shoves Penta out of the way to take the spear from a man.
Yes.
Come on now.
Alex is really, he's proven his salt in many ways.
He is.
It's really like all that serves to do is embarrass Penta. That's like, you know, that's like a cat, like being like, no, firefighter, you need the help.
He inspires that kind of loyalty in his friends. So I say it's good.
Okay. All right. So Adam Copeland wins. The lights go out. And you hear... Oh, wait, no. That was later. Someone says, where are the lights? Okay. But...
a lot of light problems in this show.
Yeah, 2 times.
They need a better electrician.
Yeah. I blame the venue. So...
Well, it's Brody Charleston, King. West Virginia. Not to besmirch a region like that doesn't deserve it like any more than they already get it, but...
To be fair, I mean, if you've got supernatural things carting around with you on tour around the nation, like, don't be blame it on the local hell, for crying out loud. You're the one that's bringing the ghosties or the wizards or whatever it is that Malika, darkness, just the power of darkness.
It was Brody King.
Oh, that makes
sense. Brody King came out. And Julia Hart also was there.
Yeah, Julia Hart was distracting.
And yes. Julia Hart... was gonna do something, but then Willow came in, and so Willow was attacking Julia while Adam was, you know, trying to fight off Brody. So that's a thing that happened during this episode.
Yep.
Sure did.
I thought it was fantastic. I mean, like, yes, put Willow in everything. To be fair, like, often when this sort of thing happens, it's some rando runs out and like, well, now we're going to have a tag team match next week. I'll roll my eyes. But again, Willow can do no wrong. You put her in anywhere, I'm going to be like,
maybe if Willow was a paid spokesperson for a bidet company.
Yeah. Then we'd get somewhere. Then we'd get more butts and seats, as it were.
Oh!
Wet butts and seats.
A PPV.
PPV.
All right.
It would be an actual PPV.
Have we got our USRDA of potty humor out of our systems now?
I don't know. There's a limit. I have never met that limit.
I
never said
to God,
hello to that limit.
I was sitting with my kid yesterday.
On the toilet.
And we were watching some cartoon. And they're like, well, you know, like a some like, sort of like recap thing. Like, hey, remember that time that this happened? Oh, remember the time that this happened? I was like, oh, that wasn't nearly as cool as like the time.
What is this, Family Guy?
Something, something with fart noises.
That is and a roast.
Just kind of like the Family Guy. We just have like this sequence of short clips that just ended with like. Yeah. And every time my kid laughed louder and louder. And I don't want to crush his spirit at this age.
You know what? There is something to repetition, though. Oh, that is some good writing.
Yeah, not bad.
If I die and my legacy is to teach my kid that farts aren't funny, I'll have accounted myself a good father.
How dare you? Farts are funny. They are very funny.
Well, then can I say right now, your father failed you.
No, he did not. He is the world's greatest farter. Thank you very much.
And farter of the year.
Forget you guys. Farts are hilarious. They're the thing of kings.
I like that you have lumped in Calder.
I don't know. I'm going to
drag him into my nonsense.
It sounded like you were joining with him, but
okay. Not all men.
Hashtag. Oh boy.
Not all men, but a statistically significant portion. All right. So I loved the match.
Yep.
I'm okay about the run-in.
Yeah,
again, they just got to start like stories. And because of what happens later, I am much happier about it. So I give all of it a thumbs up.
Me too.
Yeah. 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 Yeah.
We've got Renee talking to Hook, Jericho, and Shibata. And I don't even care about anything else except for Shibata's gimmick.
Don't jump to the end yet because
savor it.
We need to talk about everything else. I don't want to talk about anything else.
We should talk about the fact.
Slow.
Here is the heel turn we've been crying for, demanding, begging. Like, clearly this is him about to turn heel. Like, Jericho. Y'all need to listen to me because I am the guy that knows. And nah, da, da, da. Like, total jerk stuff.
Yes, I'm happy about that.
Yes, it's happening.
But
all right, now you can.
Now I can tell you that. So, yeah, Jericho is like ordering them around, right? And because he like knows more than they do or whatever.
This is a jerk.
And Shibata's gimmick of only talking through Google Translate on speaker is so funny to me. And it's just so ridiculous and great. And he made it say, like, what's his deal and all kinds of stuff. Yep.
I like your necklace. I like your necklace.
Yeah. That at that point, it really became transcendent. Initially, I was actually, like, not pleased that he got roped into the bet thing.
Right.
But like a line later, it was all right. And then a line after that, it was really good.
Perfect. Yeah.
And again, there was a text from Calder on the chain. It was like, oh man, when you guys see this thing. And I was only a few minutes behind. So I was like, oh man, whatever it is coming up. And then it was Jericho and Hook and Shibata. I'm like, I guess it's after this, because why would anybody, like, why would you be super excited? And then it got to the end. I'm like, oh, well, clearly this is what we're talking about.
And
it is the best.
It was pretty good.
It's just perfect all the way around. And I'm in love with it.
Yep. 10
out of
10.
I'm going to marry it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Nuptials in the fall.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not even going to bother with a prenup.
No. You're just going to get rooked decide. And taken for half of everything. Give it to Shibata's phone.
That's rough.
I was going to say, it would be like, what is it, King Solomon with a baby in half thing? Anyway, whatever. All right. Thumbs up.
Oh, yeah. Huge thumbs up.
We have Renee talking to Mark Briscoe and Eddie Kingston. This was weird because they're talking, and then Eddie almost like disses Mark Briscoe for using the word simultaneously, which I don't understand why he would do that.
I think it was just that he is so mush mouthed that Mark Briscoe is that he's like silomaneous.
I thought he heard the word right. I thought he was saying he didn't himself understand the word Mark Briscoe said.
Yeah, and that's why I'm like, it feels like he's making fun of him because it's not a difficult word.
No, I thought he was saying he himself was illiterate or stupid or something.
This is my point.
Yeah.
It sounds like he's making fun of him.
I came up with that explanation because it did sound like he said it correctly. And I was like, that couldn't possibly be what you mean. Like the vibe you're giving off is like, everything's cool here. And simultaneous is not a difficult word. So I must be wrong. There must be some other explanation for it. Much like Willow, Eddie can do no wrong. And if you persist in this criticism of him, I will be forced to shut this whole thing down. I will not have it.
Me criticizing Eddie?
Yep.
Okay, let me expand on that a little then.
Please.
So it's like saying, oh, you're so stupid. Like, oh, simultaneously, huh? Huh, professor? Huh? It's like, making fun of him for saying it because you assume he's stupid and now he's trying to sound smart, kind of a thing, right?
And he would never. I would never see
that in his character.
That may not have been his intention, but that is the effect, I think. But it was just really rubbed me the wrong way. That's like, that's not, it sounded off the cuff too. Like he wasn't planning on even saying that, making fun of that. So I was like, what the fuck, dude? You know, like, what's your deal? And then they get interrupted because it was dog shit. And Adam Copeland interrupts with Willow and Stokely. And Adam Copeland's like, let's all be a team. And he's like, we're the Rated R Chicken Hawks because of the shirt that Mark Briscoe was wearing or something.
Yep. They run a chicken farm. Or I'm sorry.
What is going on?
Mark Briscoe owns a chicken farm in Maine or wherever they live.
Delaware. Okay. Delaware.
Delaware. Yeah.
He's from
Maryland.
Delaware.
So it turns out Willow is going to be then it's like going to be a mixed gender match, which I think is cool.
Sure.
They don't do enough of that kind of stuff.
I mean, it's not my favorite gimmick, but like, again, put Willow on everything. I got no problem whatsoever.
Okay.
Yeah, I'm not wild about the mixed gender matches just because of the artifice of like, okay, like because I'm tagging in the other person, you can manipulate the other team into having to change up their situation as well. And I don't like that about those matches.
Two quick points, because WrestleMania was this past weekend. I sprung for the Triller TV Plus because of all the dope ass shows that are happening WrestleMania weekend, all the TJPW stuff, the GCW stuff. And, one of the things that I need to catch because I've heard that they have been doing it for the past several months, but I have not yet seen is Nick Gage and Maki Ito tagging.
Whoa.
I don't know what that is, but I know I love Maki Ito more than anything in the world. And despite my distaste for mixed tag matches and a quizzical befuddlement about Nick Gage, I'm going to go check that out next.
Quizzical befuddlement.
Mm-hmm. I mean, give me another word that makes more that fits better.
Simultaneously.
That's rude. That is rude. I don't like feeling. No.
So I'm middle list. Also, oh, go ahead.
Also, the Raw after WrestleMania started out with 45 minutes of talking with Cody and The Rock. And I'm not here to bash, but I am saying that if AEW pulled that, I would be fucking furious.
Jumping off a cliff. Wait a minute. Are you saying for 45 minutes it was just Cody and The Rock?
I think there were some other shenanigans and like some other people came in and whatnot. But like 45 minutes before we had a match. That's a long
fucking time.
And it's like the basically just one segment talking about, you know.
Boo.
Whatever.
The actual beginning to my like entrance into like really watching pro wrestling was that I had like very occasionally like seen bits and pieces like with when I would be with friends and it would happen to come up. And then at a certain point, I started like occasionally checking in to see if I still disliked what I was seeing. And you would, you know, I would just be timing it and it would be like that over and over again. I don't think it was ever 45 minutes, though. God.
Yeah. Yeah.
Damn. That's painful.
I mean, here's the thing. Like, Cody just won the belt after years. He completed his story. And The Rock is, he continues to be, like, the most over guy in wrestling for good reason. You know, like, so.
And entertainment in general.
Yeah. Yeah.
He's certainly over at the box office. So I'm glad he has something.
Oh, snap.
I mean, he's made a lot of money. He hasn't made a lot of good movies, but he has made a lot of money.
Big budget movies.
Yeah, yeah.
He got paid well.
Yeah. I saw Jungle Cruise. I'm entitled.
So like, yeah, like they're doing exactly what they do and that's fine. I have no beef. It's just like, not beef my cup of tea.
Stroganoff.
It is not my beef stroganoff because I am lactose intolerant and that sour cream would just make my tummy gurgle.
Can't you take
is
a pill?
That not the grossest thing in the world? Okay, look, I have my family's like half of my family comes from the Ukraine or whatever. So that's what we used to call it, the Ukraine. So right?
You're going off the fight.
Like,
I assume.
I'm just saying. Is that not the grossest thing you've ever heard of? Is like ground beef and fucking sour cream.
Here's the thing, as a kid, I used to dig it.
I'm sure it's good. I have bad memories of it as a child. I'm sure it's good, but it just sounds fucking disgusting.
No, right? When I was like, stupider
I'm gonna
than
pour
I am,
milk in my beef.
Oh boy.
Anyways,
I'm stupider than I am now. Like I even like enjoyed like TV dinner beef stroganoff.
Wow.
That's not stupid.
It is disgusting.
Well, no, TV like, dinners are made.
What's stupid is like nutritionally like accepting that into my body.
Oh, I see. Well, you have no control over what you accept into your body anymore because our government has allowed microplastics into everything, in our water. Our grandpas were full of lead and our dads are full of asbestos and now we are full of microplastics.
You know what we're not full of, though, at least in Arizona?
Babies?
Abortions.
Oh.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, no, I almost said babies, and I was like, oh, no, wait, no, the whole thing was that they reinstated the, like, 1846 or whatever law about abortion. So, like, yeah.
All right, hold on. I have to dig up dirt on Washington State now.
Washington
State.
Sorry,
man, Arizona's the worst.
All right. Okay, you think it's the worst until this next segment. Dun, dun, dun.
Oh, boy.
The Young Bucks. Okay.
Oh, wait, did we thumb this last segment?
I middled it.
Okay, you middled.
Yeah, I guess I middled it too.
I upped it just because it was like, it was loose and kind of sloppy, but also like, that's crazy. And that's a little awkward. And that's kind of nice. And we can contrast this with Mercedes Moné later, but in the meantime.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, are you done?
I'm done. I am so done.
Okay. So the Young Bucks. And in the background, there is a whiteboard, and it's just got random notes, like as though this is their important meeting room. One of them says, Ferrari or Kia, question mark. The other one says, Shoeshine, 1 p.m. And then they were in the way of the other ones, so I couldn't read the other ones. But I was like, oh, my God, they showed the all-in footage where you see what they call scapegoat Jack Perry. Very true. And they see what happened between Punk and Jack Perry. And I couldn't believe they were showing it. And they were showing it. And it was a very long segment. It took a while before CM Punk started going crazy. But like you see him, like Jack Perry he's got both hands in his hair. Like whipping his hair back or whatever, getting it out of his face.
He whips his hair back and forth.
And CM Punk just pushes him and starts going crazy, and people start pulling. And then you see that the desk they're standing in front of is like the production desk. And Tony Khan is right there. And so CM Punk just like pivots and then starts going back behind the desk, and people are pulling him back. I mean, no wonder Tony Khan was like, oh, my life was threatened. Even though it really wasn't technically threatened. But I mean, I don't know. I don't know what the fuck was going on. But the guy has a short fuse. And you know what else? I bet he has his short on. Sorry, that was a bad joke.
Penis joke?
Oh. Yeah, it's a bad joke. Yeah.
Okay.
Oh, boy. But you know, I don't know. Maybe there's something to that. You know, there's a little bit of truth in there somewhere.
Now, in film school, we have a term that they call in media res.
And oh, yeah?
What it means is that you're supposed to start like with the action.
Yeah, right?
So,
they showed the whole process of CM Punk appearing, because at first he wasn't there. It was just Jack Perry. So you see him appear and then them talking for a while.
A long time of innocuous looking talking body language.
Yeah, it didn't look like anything serious at all. And then out of nowhere, at least it comes across this way, you see CM Punk just start to go crazy. And I was like, yeah, your ass is fired, dude. But it's just a weird thing, too. Like, why are we seeing this? Does this really make any point?
I would like to think that, like, an object of it would be to, like, hopefully, like, exercise the whole problem. But I really don't think that's true. I think it really was, like, an emotional, like, not especially mature decision to show it.
That is 100% what it was. Punk talked trash on some interview show, you know, before WrestleMania. And we have now at least 2 weeks of Tony obsessing about it and putting his side of things on the air. The fact of the matter is, there's nobody watching now that
gives a shit.
It's already done. Punk is gone.
Yeah.
And like the fact that, I don't know, like, Punk is doing this to get heat and so people pay attention to him, and he did it. And the thing that AEW needed to do was fucking ignore it, because I don't care. Nobody cares. Like, we like watching AEW. That's why we're here. Some people watch WWE. That's why they're there. Some people watch both. Great. But this is unnecessary. Like, I saw the thing, and it turns out that, yes, given this, we don't have the words. I mean, he may have been calling him, Punk may have been calling, or Jack Perry may have been calling Punk, like, the N-word, like, 10 dozen times, and we don't know that because there's no sound, in which case, you feel free. Go ahead and sock the guy. But, yeah, basically, it looks like that is the correct side of the story. Punk was just a piece of shit. But who here is invested in that and feels vindicated in some way?
Yeah.
There was no point, and it took so long, and they hyped it up the week before. So we're just spending so much time on this and
thinking about it.
Disappointed me so much.
Well, I do think that once you're past the decision to air the footage in the first place, they didn't do the absolute worst job at sort of packaging it and dressing it up, with what surrounds it. Because I think that the Young Bucks did some stuff that I sort of liked around it, and
I agree.
So did FDR.
Yeah.
They did some stuff, but I felt like they should have gone harder. You can sort of draw a tenuous line that we're just showing this because, FTR are a bunch of jerks and, we're hyping the match with them.
They're showing it because they believe, and this was such a great take, that FTR, because as CM Punk and FTR are good buddies, that FTR was behind, orchestrated the whole thing. That's such a fun take to be able to move forward with it, but blaming someone else so there's heat somewhere else.
I guess they did say that. I do remember that. And I was too caught up in just the ugh of it all to really take that as okay, we're actually using it for an angle.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, there is that.
And there's more later that we'll get to, because they also kind of cover the who gives a shit angle of it as well.
Which means
you have no argument.
I have none, and yet here I am with my thumb down. And
I mean, I'm not, I'm not worried about your capacity to thumb down at all.
I thumbs it up.
Did you?
Okay. Oh,
yeah.
Oh, and Calder.
No, I mean, the core problem is still there. I thumb it down.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, okay. Yeah. I was hoping for a rainbow, but yeah.
Yeah, sorry.
Yeah.
Everyone's disappointing today.
Yeah.
All right.
No one's happy. No one's happy. And no one should be happy in this world.
No one should be happy right now. Okay. So then we move on. We've got FTR doing an in-ring promo, basically in response to this. So,
yeah.
And that was stellar. But I have to say, Cash Wheeler had a Bart Simpson shirt, but it was a 1992 Bart Simpson shirt. I know this. I am an aficionado of Bart Simpson gear, and it could be a reproduction.
It's a Hot Topic reproduction. It's not.
Okay.
But just so we're
all clear, it is the 1992.
Yes.
Version of Bart Simpson.
Yeah.
No, don't go out there and get burned by the Hot Topic version, everybody. Don't spend a reasonable amount.
Yeah. Don't spend $200.
They call the Young Bucks Ron Todd Flanders. Kid
Rock.
Also true. Yeah.
Did you hear that? That was a slow burn. They said they call, and I said, me, Kid Rock. I had to repeat it. It was such a dumb joke that I was happy about it.
I would like to talk trash about it, but no, that is fine. That's perfectly acceptable.
Okay.
That is the level of humor that we're dealing with on this podcast.
Well, I guess since you don't find pretty, farts funny.
Intellectual by the standards that we're setting today.
All right. So I thumbs this up. Do you have anything to say about the FTR promo?
Yeah, I think that they were actually really in an enviable position because they, I mean, and you know, I have mixed feelings about how real life stuff gets used sometimes, in kind of a cynical way, whatever it achieves. But them getting to go out and be the good guys who are who gives a shit. You come here paying your hard-earned money, blah, blah, blah. And I'm like, yeah, that works.
Yeah, yeah. I middle this because it is correct they're doing exactly what they should be doing, and they turned it to, you know, like sell tickets for the next pay-per-view, and they're good on the mic. They have, mm-hmm. you know, intensity and whatnot like that, and it's good stuff. Just this whole thing is not for me. I don't want any part all of this footage nonsense. And so, like, that's where.
Okay.
Yeah, I think out of fairness, I think I have to thumb this end of it down as well. But like, I do still think that a lot of strong work got done.
There's the rainbow I'm looking for. We did it, you guys. And up and down in the middle.
I think it's an interesting moment to remember where FTR was. So like when we were on the old podcast. We were doing it at the time that the back shaving thing happened, were we?
Back shaving.
Oh, do you not remember that? You remember that? I think we had
left by then.
I think I was just still watching after we moved over.
Yeah.
So they were. This was when they were at WWE.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, this was like a thing where they were getting like I think they were just getting punished by Vince McMahon for some reason. I don't remember what they would have done to
warrant decent wrestlers. That penalty.
But yeah, like they did a segment where the Usos are like to the camera, hey, come here, check this out. And they get like the Usos go into the locker room and there's like who we now call Dax shaving the back of Cash, and it's supposed to be this big humiliation, and it was just like, you know, especially knowing like even like more now, being like, you had this team and this is what you did with them. Are you proud of yourself?
That's such bullshit. Yeah. Are you proud of yourself? You know, Vince McMahon cannot answer that any day of the week. He cannot answer that.
Mm.
You proud of yourself? Well, what does the word, what does it mean? What does it even mean?
Simultaneous?
What? What are you, from Harvard? Park the car in Harvard Yard.
Wow.
All right. We got Bryan Danielson promo package, but I don't know if this is technically a thing that we're thumbing.
Is this a segment?
Let's just throw it in with the next because, like, there's an actual live element to it.
Okay. I thumbs it up.
No, I mean, like, if it's if it sways your thumb either way for the next segment, let's put them together.
Oh, okay. So Bryan Danielson has this whole thing, and then but it's nothing new, but it's a good package. But Will Ospreay comes out with Renee, and so Danielson is. Basically, Will Ospreay is being accused of not having enough grit or afraid of the grind. Sorry.
And this is like, if you like axe grinding, speaking of grinding, like this was the show for you because
axe grinding.
Tony's got an axe. Ospreay's got an axe. There's axes all around.
Danielson's got an axe. Eddie Kingston's got an axe. Everybody's got axes. Okay. So,
all my axes live in Texas.
Ooh, good job.
Thank you.
You know, I thought it, but I didn't say it.
Yeah. I went there. I felt like I hadn't contributed my quota of just terrible trash jokes. So
the kid was saying Texas is money. And I was like, what? Texas is money. And I was like, do you mean taxes? But then later, she was saying, money is perfect. Money is perfect. While she was riding her bike, and her brother and I was like, what are you saying? We both were like, what's up with her? She's being weird. Anyways, I don't know. She's got different priorities, I guess.
We know all about that.
All right. my point. There's a point because there's more to this podcast. Okay, Will Ospreay. Renee, I'm afraid of the grind? No. Heat flies from America to England, back to America, to England, to America, to England, every fucking week. That's insane.
It is.
Can you imagine? How many hours is that?
I cannot. I don't even want to try and figure it out.
He said 8-9 hours each way, so...
Yeah.
You know,
I mean, he's got to be flying like in the best possible conditions, I'm sure, but nonetheless.
Hopefully.
I would hope so. I would hope he's like, if I sign up to do this, you got to fly me first class every fucking week, which is crazy because that would be real expensive.
Well, yeah. I mean, I wouldn't even settle for that. I would demand firstest class.
Firstest, bestest class.
Sit in the pilot's lap.
That's right. Yeah.
I demand, I don't know.
Your imagination completely fizzled at the prospect of getting what you want.
Yeah, that's right. It did. Fizzled. All right. So he continues to cut a badass promo that just murders all of our faces. And I'm like, this, he flew in for this. Maybe he has something coming up on, he has something on Rampage or something, right?
I don't know.
I don't remember either. But.
All right. If he did, then we don't remember a bad promo.
All I'm saying is, if he does nothing else this week except for that promo and he flies home, that is still a money-making promo.
He's earned his first class ticket.
You know what I mean? I was like, shit, dude. You've really got it. Kids got it.
Put it in that context, like, to imagine like a transatlantic flight in order to cut a several minute promo. Like, I feel like a thing I do is lopsided in favor of the travel. If I have to go like an hour and 15 minutes in some direction to go do something for a few hours, and to imagine like boiling it down to like a 3 minute promo after and you know, it's not just the hours in the air. God, when you really think about it.
Yep. All the time in the airport, getting to the airport.
God almighty, the customs.
Oh, Jesus. Ugh,
barf. Yeah. Having to get used to calling it a lift versus a elevator.
Oh, yeah. That's some time on its own.
The worst of all.
The customs.
all right.
Last week I was like, I have had enough. Like, I like his promos, but like, he's not saying anything. Just like, move on, do something new, have a match, do something. This week I came in and I was like, you know what? I'm back on board. If all this is going to be is just like a straight head promo with it just saying bruv and just being intense like that, I'm for it. I'm gonna thumb it up. But why is he got to talk about Triple H, for God's sakes, on this of any day?
This was a real touche relative to the other segment. This was a lot closer to the chest.
Yeah.
Yeah. But like, the fact that we're like, who cares what Triple H thinks? Because you're doing amazing promos. You're having the best matches in the world. Like, honestly, Triple H is fucking beneath you.
Yeah.
Do not give him the time of fucking day. No. So, like, yeah. I ended up middling this because on top of everything else in this episode, I'm just like, enough. You're playing your own game. Leave them the fuck alone, because I do not care.
Yeah, it's a difficult position that they're in, because Tony clearly wants them to annihilate WWE for some reason.
Oh, he loves that.
And it's a mutual thing as well. Like, WWE was coming at AEW all week before WrestleMania. Why do that?
Yeah.
There's no fucking reason for it.
It's like you can only do so much. You can only do that so much without alienating your own viewers. So we'll see how this all shakes out. But that's all I have to say. I thumbs up the promo, though.
Yeah, me too. I also liked it quite a bit, actually.
Chan.
So noted. Oh, I already middled it.
Oh, okay. Yeah. We've got Julia Hart promo. This was great. It was pre-taped. It was all an interesting video, just something weird and different. And I liked it a lot. I thumbs it up.
Yeah, me too. It's nice to have, we're not getting the amount of minutes per week that we want for women, but we are getting like a number of highlighted women more than used to be the case.
Yes.
It's possible the rest of the show sort of skewing this for me. I middled it. I liked all the editing. I liked the style of it. Like, it's a House of Black promo and that's great. But honestly, can we list off the number of people who could have done the spooky goth girl bit better than Julia Hart? Bunny, Anna Jay.
Oh, for sure. Not Anna Jay. I don't buy it from her.
No? Okay.
No. But definitely Bunny.
There's
Penelope Ford.
You've done it better.
Maybe Ruby.
I don't know about Nyla. Nyla's got her own thing, but
Nyla's too goofy. That's not really her deal.
This is just very mediocre. So
interesting. There.
I get your point. And I agree to a large extent, but I'm also this is the goth girl we're stuck with. So I enjoyed it.
The goth girl we deserve, not the one that we want.
Right.
Yeah, I feel you.
Anyway, so I still thumbs it up.
Yeah.
Everybody else thumb it?
Yep.
Okay, then we've got Hook, Jericho, Shibata versus Shane Taylor Promotion, Shane Taylor, Anthony Ogogo, and Lee Moriarty.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Liking very interesting this. Combination.
Yes.
Yeah.
Especially and this was like a dominant thought for me was that this is like a really hospitable like arrangement for Chris Jericho to do what he can do in.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yep. I like
and
this.
Also it's a good place for Anthony Ogogo to be landing.
Yes.
No, that's true. He needs a good safely. Landing on his return back. Yeah.
Yeah.
He's, in a faction of sorts, something new, something that's up and coming, something that, I want to see more of, honestly. Yep. So, I was excited about it. This is interesting because Jericho and Hook are arguing because they're not doing what Jericho said, and then they fail to help Shibata when Shibata, who at first it looked like he was going to win, and then all this shit started happening, and then, it didn't happen. So
those scoundrels cheated.
Mm-hmm. They cheated. They cheated. So this is now, and then Hook is like, get out of here, go away, we're sick of it, blah, blah, blah. So then they sort of skedaddle Jericho.
Ending.
Yep.
Oh, yeah. And sad Harry walking away slowly, looking back a few times. Jericho.
They had to break Harry's heart to save him.
Yes. So, it was good. I liked it. I enjoy this. I want Jericho to go heel. And if this is how we're getting there, I'm all for it.
Yep.
Thumbs up.
Oh yeah, absolutely. Yep.
It was a good match to boot. Yeah. Shane Taylor's chops are so fucking loud.
Yeah.
Oh my God. But also, yeah, the all of this is great into it.
I thought you were just going to say that his chops, like AKA his skills were good.
I mean, skills as well, but the chops were the things that echoed throughout the building. So
The chops are the thing, not the play.
Mm-hmm. We'll catch the conscience of the king.
Oh, man.
Can who in you, this like, case, like, I guess, is Jericho?
If no one's ever done a Hamlet where the play is a pro wrestling match, like, somebody should.
Here's the thing. 100% guarantee you that someone has, in fact, done that. We just got to scour the internet until we find it.
I don't know, man. The internet, that's a wild, woolly place. I don't want to go there. I don't want to be there.
And yet here we are.
Here we are.
All right, so we all thumbs this then?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yes.
Renee, Justin Rhodes, interview, it's happening. Dustin is cutting a promo. What I love about promos that are happening just outside of the curtains, right, is that you can hear the audience whenever – you could just hear them respond to shit in real time. I love that. So when Dustin's throwing out like, yeah, you know, whatever town they're in or something, and everyone's like, yeah, I love that shit. I love hearing it. I like hearing, you know, crowds feeling good, living life. So anyway, that's my hot take on this.
I love what pro wrestling can bring to people in parts of the U.S. where there's not like big pro sports. There's not big concerts. Like there's not even like necessarily always small ones. Like pro wrestling goes to these places where like it must be really intense to be in one of those places and the wrestling companies come to town. I can just imagine.
Yeah. Yeah, you're looking forward to it for months. I don't really know. I don't think this was that small a town, but I really don't know. But anyways, yes, I liked it. I thought he cut a good promo, but it wasn't really like super exciting. I meddled it.
Oh, I thumbed it up. I thought it was a real solid promo. I don't generally thumb up Dustin promos, but hey, yeah, I like it.
I also thumb it up, and I feel sort of like dumb because I feel as though 2 years ago or 3 years ago or whatever, like I would have been as heated as anyone about like it, we're getting an awful lot of Dustin Rhodes play for a guy that's half out the door. And I'm like, he's still here and he's still killing it. So I don't know what I was thinking then.
And he's a 55-year-old dude. Who's, you know what, I'll say it, like he's keeping up with Samoa Joe, 10 years his junior, and Samoa Joe, top of his game. So, you know, no slouch.
So we've got Okada versus, I didn't get the name.
Cristiano Argento.
Argento. Oh, I knew it was Argento because I wrote that down. But I didn't get the whole thing. Then they said something about Genta, and they made some joke that I didn't understand. And I was like, uh-oh, did I write it down?
Something about sound design. I was like, I'll have to look that up later.
Yeah.
I mean, I would have gone with a Suspiria reference, but like, I guess, whatever.
I don't know.
He might as well be Jaycano Reynoldso for my taste.
Indeed. Indeed.
What about Citizen Kane? Anybody?
Anyone want to link that up to old Citizen Kane there? Rosebud? Anyone? Something? Anyone?
Just me? Okay. So basically, this is a good. It's more of a squash situation, but it was. I still enjoyed it.
It's such a beautiful squash because. Yeah. And they were commenting on it, like obviously at the desk, but the absolute like boredom and like mental lethargy that was like all over Okada was just gorgeous.
Yeah.
Yeah, like I have not seen really any of Okada, so like show me why he's the best in the world. And by God, in the short time he had here, moves were crisp, they were stiff. He did that neck move thing. I was like, Jesus.
Yeah.
Afterwards, when he starts laying in the chair shots, I'm like, dude, this is fake. Stop murdering people. but like, yeah, like I got it. I'm like, yeah, I get it. I see.
Yeah. Best in the world. Earned. Deserved. Mm-hmm.
We got so many best in the world in the company.
We're so there's lucky. Yeah. Yeah.
And some of them even actually are.
Yeah.
Like we're only down one best in the world so far.
Ooh, snap.
The population of Charleston, West Virginia is 48,864.
Oh, thank you. All right. So, all right.
That's not even big enough for a Planet Fitness.
No.
Can you imagine?
Well, I'm sure they got a Pizza Hut. And if they have a Pizza Hut, that means they get all those awesome, weird-ass pizza challenges.
Oh, yeah.
Why is the personal pan pizza different than when we had Book It? Why have they changed it?
Because late-stage capitalism.
Sucks. Anyways.
And they call it inshittification.
Hmm. Yes. Yes, they do.
So, all right. This was a great match, but then Okada wins, and he cuts a promo in the ring accepting Pac's challenge, and then Pac comes out.
Yeah, he does.
But then the Young Bucks come out and attack Pac, and then FTR comes out. It's a huge melee. There's beef everywhere. There's sides of beef. There's beef sliders.
Entrees. Is there stroganoff?
There's no cream in there, man.
What?
These zero are cream. All the
cream of the crop. I beg to differ. The cream, yes, exactly.
I don't know. So, yeah, this was fun. The whole thing gets a thumbs up.
Oh, yeah. All fantastic.
Then we got the Bang Bang Gang promo. And all I wrote was, I love Jay White.
That's all you need.
Fucking murdered this.
Oh yeah.
Like he literally didn't need anybody else there. But I like that he had his little backup group. You know, he's so good. Just get the fuck out of here already. What the fuck?
Yes, he is so good. He is great. He doesn't need the others there, but the way the others, because it used to be Juice and now it's the Ass Boys,
it's a good juxtaposition, right?
He just slices through and they're just like bobbing around on the edges. He's like, what? While he's just like right down the middle, and it's
clean and precise and perfect, right? Talking about how you can have a clean and precise wrestling move, yes, but a clean, precise, murderous, perfect promo. It's crazy.
It's, yeah.
It was at this part of the show where I started being like, it's just not even fair. Like, AEW is so good. This isn't even fair. This is a great promotion. I love it.
I'm warming up to it.
We're going to get to the end of the show, and I'm going to tally the numbers, and it's not necessarily going to seem that way.
Right,
but,
I'm sure. But the feeling is there.
Yeah. There's, they've just got a...
Bruv, Will Ospreay is the feeling.
Ooh.
They got a murderer's row there.
For sure.
My only note for this segment was like, man, great timing and chemistry. Because, yeah, it's like this. I have no complaints. There's nothing I would say that I'm like, yeah, you should approve this. Or like, maybe they could. Like, it just felt like a...
it was a master's class.
Like when the Beastie Boys are just on and you're just like, man, just the way they just go back and forth, and it's just so smooth, and you're like, yeah, and you just get like a little jolt of joy when they like, you know, like hit a line or something, and so yeah.
I have an insight into you now.
Ah. Still getting to know each other.
Beastie Boys related.
I know more about you now. All right. So it was great. Thumbs up.
Yep.
Yes.
Thumbs up.
We've got Renee talking to Thunder Rosa and Tony Storm. And now this is like a champagne toast conversation, I guess.
I mean,
here's what I don't like about Thunder Rosa's face paint is we can't see her facial expressions clearly anymore. So it's like
all full face instead of like half face.
Yeah. And it's not just full face. It's also like designy. I generally don't have a problem with that if it's a match, you know, but right. If we're supposed to be like reading what's happening, then it becomes a problem. So that was part of the problem here is like could tell she was trying to give like a face of like wah wah, kind of like what's this stupid ass like champagne toast. But then I don't know, it just sort of like it was weird. But then Tony Storm splashes her with the champagne and then starts attacking her, blah, 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 which was great. All of that is great. What do I even want to say?
I know what I want to say. She
smeared off her makeup. What do you want to say? Go ahead.
Well, I just think it's a privileged position to show up someplace where they're giving you free alcohol and turn your nose up at it, Thunder Rosa.
She took the glass. She was going to drink, but then that dastardly heel threw champagne in her eyes.
Wiped off all her makeup.
Right? Rude. That's like basically the equivalent of taking off a luchador's mask.
Yeah, but it's so much harder, and it makes the face paint like a really smart move.
Yeah, she didn't put cold cream on that thing or anything. She just like went right at it. Oh, it's not kind.
We don't know what was on that towel.
I think we can assume that there wasn't a towel full of cold cream just sitting around on the tray
I don't know. Who's the stage manager?
That's a good question.
I feel like anytime stage managers get brought up here at AEW, it's because they did something wrong. So I'm going to assume that they're not that great.
Oh. Also, I'll say that we don't know what might be a local Charleston, West Virginia custom.
Ooh.
Right. We don't know the customs.
Do you want to add more?
No. Okay. Well, I thought that was fine. So Tony Storm starts beating up Thunder Rosa, so Deanna Purrazzo runs out to stop it. And this is at the top. I don't know. Is this its own thing?
Yeah, it's its own thing. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
I middle it.
Oh, my.
I up it.
Yeah. Like it's a silly Tony Storm segment as these always are. Mm-hmm. So like, you know, she's going to throw the champagne in her face and you know that, you know, we're just going to have a silly little dust up. So for me, it's all about the little stuff. First off, Deanna straight up says, fuck you on camera. I'm like, boom. Oh, all right then. Nice. That's the jersey in her. Then when, Mariah May comes out, Tony takes like this big swig of champagne and then gives her a big cheek smooch. And is that a thing? Is that a thing I should know about?
Kiss.
Do people do that? Is it?
What, kissing in general, or are you being more specific?
Taking a big swig of champagne and then kissing someone with a mouthful of champagne.
Because I think was just like she
just
was some
weird shit.
I think she was supposed to do it. I think she just did it.
Someone called it a champagne kiss, and I was like, wait a minute, are the kids doing some shit that I don't know anything about?
No, I think that's
putting two words together.
So she's just the Luther carries her off and she's just swigging the bottle. And so like all of that, you know, like
she's pretending like, oh, I'm smashed now.
Yes. Much fun. Very silly. And I thumb that up.
Okay. Yeah.
Okay. So this next bit, we've got Mariah May versus Anna Jay. And again, I have to ask, what the fuck is her thing? What is her whole deal?
Anna Jay. She had a thing for a hot second.
She was the star of the show, I think. Wasn't that the idea?
There was something about like she's got a fat butt, which I'm like, yeah, sure. What? Let's go with that. But it didn't feel like that's what her.
No, my recollection.
That is not a gimmick. That is not a wrestling gimmick.
My recollection was that she was supposed to be like, wasn't she supposed to be like almost like a magician or something? She was supposed to be some kind of a show person. Yeah.
This is the last that I'm familiar as far as any kind of gimmick regarding her. But I just have to continue to ask, what the fuck is it? Because it's not telegraphed. It's not said. It's not written. It's not understood.
Yeah.
This is what really bugs me. Like, if you have a women's division that you might consider floundering, this is the type of shit that needs to change. It drives me fucking crazy.
That they had this same match about a month ago on Rampage.
They did.
You've got women. You can have all sorts of different matches. There was no mention that this match had happened recently or that there was some continuing feud. And that's why we're having this rematch so that we could. So it's not like they're telling a story here. It's just like, who you want to put? We got to put a women's match in. Who do you want to put
available?
On? I don't know. Ryan May and one of the girls.
Yeah.
That's disappointing.
Yes, it is.
It is.
That being said, during the break, who watched the UK feed today, this week?
I did.
Did you hear
this?
Them?
Who is this? Who's speaking now?
This is Calder Holbrook's very famous brother, Martin Holbrook. it was something about this woman has big strong legs because she used to be a dancer and
they said something like about Tony AJ's dancer's legs
and like Tony, you used to be a dancer, who's your partner? Fred Astaire. He's like, no, Ginger Rogers. Tony's like, no, Ginger Rogers, because obviously I'm a heterosexual, damn it.
What?
Oh boy.
Well, no, that was my addition, my commentary on that.
Oh.
And then Excalibur's just like, well, he's going to recite Vogue now? And you just kind of hear him kind of like giggling to themselves. And Tony's
Ginger Rogers, Fred Astaire. Blah, 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 blah. Blah, blah, blah.
What's the name of that?
Dance on Air.
That move, you smart ass.
Oh, yeah. This was my favorite exchange in the whole show.
And like Excalibur's like, it's a straight jacket, you salty old. And then there was like, and we're back.
And I was like this was a point at which I was kind of marveling at the ability and I think like trust in themselves to like loosen up during those parts and then straighten up again. Like when you come back to air, like on the US like feed, because I just think like I could never trust myself to be disciplined in holding those two kind of statuses. I would really have to do it one way all the time.
Yeah. I mean, obviously all three of these guys are masters of the craft. It's nice that as opposed to the days when Vince was like shouting in Michael Cole's ear all the time, like, hey man, they're just relaxing. They just get to have a little fun on the international feed and, you know, like they're top notch so that they can hang and do it. And it's just fun to listen to them.
Yeah,
it is. It is.
All right. So I thought this match was okay. I really can't stand the way that Anna Jay doesn't sell stuff. It's really annoying. Yeah, there's several moments where I was like, I can't believe that's all you're giving it for this. But whatever.
Yeah.
Anyway, the match happens, and then Mariah May makes a miraculous win, and quote unquote miraculous, because I mean it's not that miraculous, but Mina Shikara from Stardom comes out.
Shirakawa.
Oh, sorry. Shirakawa, and that's exciting because if we are opening the door to Stardom, fuck, dude, we are in for some awesome goddamn matches.
Well, it's an interesting situation right now because like what remains of Stardom is going to be friendly with AEW, and the new company that that the exiting leader of Stardom creates is going to be friendly with WWE.
That is interesting.
That is interesting, although I doubt that much will come of that. Like they have Julia, but like they have Julia, not like they're just going to borrow her sometimes.
Well, they have Julia, but Triple H clearly seems to be a lot more interested in having a semi like permeable barrier between himself and the outside world than Vince McMahon ever did. So I feel like there could be some borrowing.
I mean, I'm never going to be unhappy at that. I'll never be unhappy to see more Japanese women wrestling in the U.S.
Yeah, absolutely.
But Mina Shikawa kissed.
Yep, just keep going.
Mariah May. And like, everyone was like, what? What's going on? And I don't know. Is this like a thing?
I have seen this a bit like in Joshi wrestling. I've at least seen it a little bit.
What is it?
I don't know that I like got clear on what it was. It sort of seemed like, I don't know, like it was, I like my impression at the time was that what I was witnessing was sort of happy-go-lucky behavior. I didn't see it as being titillating stuff.
Okay.
It felt like it was something else.
Yeah. I'm all for it. Give me as much Mina Shirakawa as you can give me. Bring in any other women you want, from Stardom. Nothing has displeased me that I've seen from Stardom. It was confusing. I'm like, what is happening? Are they friends? Are they more than friends? Is this just a thing that happens in Japan? Means nothing or means something else. But whatever. It's fun as hell. So yeah, let's go.
I can't pretend I was constantly really well absorbing the storyline stuff when I watch like the Japanese wrestling. Right. it seemed like something like that was like palatable for sure.
Anyways, I gave the match itself a middle.
I thumbed it up. I do like, I think Mariah May has, really, really smoothing things out, and her matches are genuinely exciting to watch.
I up it as well between what we got from Mariah May and Mina Shirakawa.
Then we got Al Scoops, Marvez, a Mercedes Moné. This was kind of like an uneventful interview, but it was okay. It wasn't bad. It just wasn't like all that interesting. And then they had the lights go out and the lights came back on, and you hear Marvez saying, wait, someone turned the lights on, the lights. And then when the lights come on, you just see Mercedes Moné, like, all beat up and stuff and hurt. And it takes a minute. And then Marvez says, somebody get help.
God it damn it, funny. Alex.
It was funny.
I was willing to let it be what it was, because it's just, you know, like, hey, let's give Mercedes a little time. Let's, you know, like, mix it up a little bit, have her sit down. Sadly, we don't have Jim Ross available right now. So we got to go with Marvez, who I don't know why you don't just use Renee in this place. But
Renee has got to go get a drink of water and use the restroom at some point.
Yeah,
I guess. But for some reason, and they do this in live interviews, and, you know, like, you're out on the stage or in the ring or whatever, and it's fine. They do this, like, zoom in, zoom out, zoom in kind of thing. Mm-hmm. The better move is to have two cameras and just cut to, and then cut to a wide shot. But they're doing the zoom in and zoom out, and while I'm fine with it backstage in a sit-down interview, fuck you. That is terrible. It is awful, visually unappealing, on top of content that I'm just not into anyway. And then they did the lights out and boom, bap, boop. Oh, who was that mystery assaulter? All of this.
Where's Scooby-Doo?
Yes.
He'll find out.
Shraggy, Rotro.
That's your Scooby-Doo?
Yes, it is, and I'm standing by it. That was
this is the, a man who doesn't think farts are funny, so
it's, you know,
you gotta give him some leeway somewhere.
Just imagine if Scooby-Doo was farting, how funny would that be?
Oh,
pretty great. You know what? I would have liked the show more.
Wow,
tell you that.
Wow, Scooby-Doo hater over here.
What? That's not exactly a hot take.
I hated this so much. I hated the segment more than almost anything I've seen in AEW for a minute.
High criticism.
Yeah.
It was rough.
Interesting. Okay. I thought it was fine. I middled it. It wasn't great.
Yeah, well, it's not super strong. I was looking at it to try to see how off the cuff sounding I thought that Mercedes was capable of being right now, and it was not any more than previous. So that was a little.
She into that cuff. There's no getting off that cuff.
It's extra starch. She's got all the buttons done on it.
Custom embroidery.
So that was, like, not surprising, but it's, you know, I would like to see her get a little more comfortable at some point. So I don't know. Like, I guess I down it.
Ooh. All right. So is that two downs?
Yes, it is.
Okay. Then we got Samoa Joe. Oops.
Reese's keeping her own score.
Yes. Samoa Joe versus, Dustin Rhodes.
Dustin.
It says here, the natural, in quotes, Dustin Rhodes.
It's, I guess, somebody's brother? Is that who this is? Okay.
The Dustin?
Another Nepo baby.
Dustin.
Dustin Reynolds? Is that right? I've never heard.
Well, he's Jason Reynolds' brother, of course.
Oh, yeah.
Of course, Jason Reynolds, with his nepotism.
I mean, yeah, like,
using his star power to get Dustin on the show.
I mean, he's been on national television. Anybody would be, you know, like reasonable in wanting to try to ride that.
So this was good.
Yes.
It still is true that a Dustin match is going to be disgustingly bloody. Like, he has not broken that streak.
Indeed.
He has broken that skin.
Indeed.
I was sitting there watching this thinking, does he have like serious scars on his head that just like don't go away?
Oh, you mean from wrestling for 40 years?
From cutting up his head every time.
Maybe a little bit. Maybe a little bit.
I think about that all the time, that like you look at people who definitely blade and like you don't get that close to them. That, I mean, sometimes you do, I guess, but you, like, I'm like, there's got to be something residual there from that. Like,
yeah.
What is it? And I'm like, I don't know.
have you ever seen pictures of Abdullah the Butcher?
No. I feel like I probably close to see those. Yeah, I'm sure that's true. Abdullah the Butcher doesn't sound like somebody that would refrain.
Here's what I'll say about this. The complaint that I had at the beginning of the show that like, oh, we just cut some bullshit package. What I would have liked to have seen was Swerve, you know, knocks the shit out of Joe, and then Dustin comes out. I was like, what happened to the match? Are we gonna have the match? And Joe's like, I'm fine. He goes in and, you know, overcomes the odds or something like that. Maybe even gets beat because like he's been so badly beaten up by Swerve. But then if you did that, he would be the face there. He would be overcoming odds to do this thing. And, you know, like through no fault of his own, he's supposed to be a heel. Like, that just doesn't work. So I get why you then have to put this at the end of the show, and then put that thing in there. Still think you could have put a better segment in after this, but, or after that, but you know, that's what this is like. Oh, maybe Dustin could actually do it because Joe's still so fucked up from the shots earlier. And that makes total sense. And I love that like, oh my God, Dustin might actually do it.
Mm-hmm.
The match was good. Also, yeah. He gave the best Code Red I have ever seen from Dustin Rhodes.
That was pretty good.
Every other
super
time I've seen
it. Bloody and all.
Yeah. Like he's just, it's just, it looks terrible because he is way too big to be doing it. He's way too old to be doing it, and respect for him trying to do it, but it almost always looks terrible. And either he nailed it tonight or more likely Joe is such a fucking godlike wrestler. He was like, yes, I will make your Code Red look amazing. And he did.
That was nice of him.
It was. Joe's a good dude.
I had a realization like when you were talking about probably, you know, like until proven otherwise.
Yeah.
I had this epiphanies. Realization That's about how I did. Yeah.
Yeah. That was it?
What?
I just thought that was funny, like, because I was waiting to hear you say something, and you just said, yeah.
Oh, I thought that we were possibly having some kind of like a delay or something like that, so I wasn't sure what to do. But like I was just thinking about like this realization I had like during the match, because when Jen was talking about the heel and face alignments, I was like, oh shoot, I managed to forget entirely where Joe was right now, because when he cheated, I was like, why would Joe do this? And I realized now.
Oh right. We have been cheering so much for Joe. The audience has to be reminded. Don't forget, Swerve is the face right now.
Yep, yep.
Still doesn't seem. Yeah. He's also doing heel shit. So who knows?
Yeah. I mean, here's the thing: like, Joe needs to be a heel because his pissed off face.
Yeah.
His incredulous face. Like, those are only things that heels can do. And he does them better than almost anybody I've ever seen in my entire life. his like the face he gave when, you know, he's walking backwards on that ramp, looking at Swerve.
Oh my God.
Just priceless.
That was pretty spectacular.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't want him to be a face anytime soon.
Yeah.
That would just be ridiculous. And I hope if anyone ever suggests it to him, he laughs in their face. Like, boy, you're new here.
I feel, and I hope this is the case, that when Joe says he wants to do a thing, Tony just says yes.
Yeah.
Kind of like I imagine he does with MJF. It's like, you know what? I trust you implicitly. Whatever you have in mind is going to be fucking gold. Let's
brought in jillions of dollars.
Mm-hmm.
I think you can run this company better than I can.
Look, I don't know. I mean, I think that there is a world of difference between being an amazing wrestler and being an amazing booker slash owner of a company.
You know, I'm kidding.
But well, I mean, like Danielson, you know, I think he's one of the greatest ever and also is a great mind for, running a wrestling business. Who knows with Joe? I'm sure he, you know, knows what he's doing. I don't know that I, you know, let him run AEW.
What are you saying?
It's so
no
late.
Actually,
it's so late.
I made a joke.
My
God.
We need to wrap this the fuck up.
I have a lot more to say. I have so much more to say.
Oh, my God.
I honestly don't know what's coming out of my mouth anymore.
I don't think you do either. Oh, my God. Okay. What are the numbers? Were you just doing that to
No. Wait a minute. We all thumbed this last one up, right?
Oh, for sure.
Okay. Okay.
Yes.
Ooh, that is not great.
Probably pretty low.
It is a nope. That's not what that is.
Are the numbers like uncertain or are they bad?
Look, I got something that said like the 102 bus route, and that was like that's not what it's supposed to be at all.
He got out. It is a
74% show.
74. That's low.
That's interesting because, like, the feeling you got from the show is different.
I don't think this is the lowest we've ever had, but it's certainly among the lowest ratings.
I think that there were bits that really pissed us all off.
Yeah.
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 I mean, obviously, like, there were a bunch of downs that were, like, on principle more than they were on execution or anything like that.
Yeah, I can. Yeah.
But there are also some downs that were just straight up downs.
That's true.
Up downs.
I do is win.
Do you guys ever see Anti-Mame?
What?
Anti-Mame?
Nope.
No.
It's one of my favorite movies in the world. Anyways, not the one with Lucy. It's the other one. Anyways, there's a snotty rich dude who has a home with a name because he's Southern. The name of his home is Ups and Downs. And so his famous joke when people ask him, how is it? He's like, you know, it's got his ups and downs.
That was also true in Jamaica that I don't know that that's true now, but it was true at some time that there were like places all over that didn't have addresses. They just had names.
That's cool.
What is the name on this button? Oh, stop.
Jamaican. Ding dong, ding-a-ling, ding-ding, ding-ding, ding-ding-doom.